Amen. Thank you, Brother Roger. I want to invite you guys to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 tonight. Genesis chapter 1, start a new lesson tonight entitled The Sanctity of Life. I want to welcome everyone here. I want to welcome everyone on the live stream. I want to remind you, if you'd like to give to the youth offering, we'll have the plate back in the back when we finish up here in a little bit. Genesis chapter 1, if you would find verse 26. Tonight we're going to begin talking about the sanctity of life. We want to try to deal with some of the questions, and it may seem strange to you that it's a cultural issue in our world today, but questions like, when does life begin? How valuable is a single human life? Does that value of a life change? If one life inconveniences another life, does it become less valuable? And you might think it's crazy that those are even questions that have to be asked, but that's the reality of the culture in which we live today. And so we want to look to the Word of God, and we want to make sure that when we look at issues in our world today, that we have a biblical worldview. We want to look at everything through the lens of the Word of God and the unchanging truth of the Word of God. And so we're in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. If you're able, will you stand with me, please? We're going to read verse 26 through 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you've allowed us this time together again. We pray, Lord, that singing your praises tonight has already been acceptable to you. We pray that you would bless and help us in our time of study. I pray your Holy Spirit would come and teach us and guide us into all truth. And Lord, help us to live out the truth that you show us. Lord, help us to understand, believe, and live lives that display an understanding of the value and the sanctity of every human life. Lord, we pray tonight for those moms in our country and around the world that are struggling and they're having a difficult time, that Lord, no matter what their circumstances are, they would not take the life of their baby. I pray, Lord, that you would raise up a generation that would see the value of life and that would defend the most innocent neighbors among us, Lord. And Lord, that we would love everyone, whether they're in the womb or out of the womb, whether very young or very old, whether they are rich or poor or anywhere in between, that you would just teach us to love all people, because all people have been created in your image. Please help me and help in all that we do tonight, that you'll get glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The questions that I mentioned a minute ago, they're not only crucial to understanding life, they're important for each one of us to answer personally. You see, all of the issues that we've been talking about, I can tell you what the Word of God says, and you can discuss those things in your small groups, but the reality is every one of us has to come to a personal conviction about the truth of the Word of God. We're going to show you Bible truths. We're going to show you Bible principles, but you've got to learn and see these truths for yourselves. Now, we've studied and talked about having the right worldview, and we want to make sure that we keep that consistent worldview in the way that we look at everything. I want to remind you a couple of things tonight. First of all, truth matters. How you or I feel about issues really is irrelevant. What really matters is the truth. The most important aspect of this conversation and any conversation we would have is, what is true according to the Bible? Not how do I feel about it, not how society's opinion changed about it, but what does the Word of God in fact say? So truth matters. The second thing is we want to always remember that our tone matters. Attitude actually does matter. And it's important for us not only to hold a true biblical position, but it's also true that we need to be careful how we communicate biblical truth to others. The Word of God instructs us to speak the truth in love. And we want to love the truth, and we want to love the God of truth, but we need to love our neighbors as well. We need to love others. And so we want to preach the truth, speak the truth, but we want to do that in love. Tonight, and many times it comes up in our culture that we deal with today, we're going to talk about the reality of abortion in our society today. Now, there may be somebody here, maybe somebody watching online that has personal experience with abortion. I want you to understand something tonight, that God is able to forgive all sin. He's able to forgive. He's able to take away all sin. Christ died to pay for the sin of abortion, just like he died to pay for the sin of lying or fornication or anything else. And so if you've had personal experience, understand that God's grace and forgiveness is great. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And God's grace and God's forgiveness is greater than any guilt that we may experience. And so we want to talk about the truth, but I want to make sure you understand it's coming from a place of love. Because God loves all of us, even though we're sinners. So we're going to start tonight with this truth, that we're formed in the image of God. We read in verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." God created mankind after his image. Notice, by the way, God said, "Let us make man in our image." So God, singular, talks about himself in the plural form. It's telling us the very simple truth that God is a Trinity. It's not. It's God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. It's three in one. And it's found right here in the very first chapter of the Bible. But when God made us, he made us in his image. Now, sometimes we get confused about exactly what that means, but I want you to understand that when God made us in his image, he made us a triune being. He made us body, soul, and spirit. And so when we're made in the image of God, not necessarily talking about physical characteristics, but it's talking about being like God in the fact that we have a soul and a spirit. God made mankind different than everything else. Human life is sacred. Most of you have heard the word sacred before, right? Okay? Sacred, the word sacred itself comes from the Latin, and it literally means belonging to God. When we say something is sacred, what we're saying is it belongs to God. And the reason human life is sacred, the reason human life is has sanctity, as we've talked about, is the fact that it's belonging to God. You and I have things that have value or significance to us, but only what belongs to God has the value or the worth of being designated as sacred. Everything that exists, God created. He made all things, and without him was not anything made that was made. Everything was created by God, but God placed special value on human beings because God blessed them. God gave mankind a forming after his image. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." That living soul is what sets us apart from the animals. Now listen, we live in a society today that thinks that human beings are just kind of at the top of the food chain as far as animals go, that we're just another kind of animals. There are people who would have you to believe that you're just a little bit more advanced than the chimpanzees. Now, I understand by looking around at the world today and how some people act, why people might think that. I understand by looking at the way some people, in particular men, live their lives, that you could look at that and you could look at the chimpanzees and go, obviously, they're pretty closely related. They act the same, they smell the same, they do the same things. But the reality is, we're not like the chimpanzees. We're not like the apes. We're not like anything else because God set humans apart because he breathed into man's nostrils and man became a living soul. He set us apart from the rest of creation. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. God set us apart from all of creation. Now, human life is sacred because it originates from God. I want you to understand something tonight, and there's probably somebody who needs to hear this because I know the things that Satan might whisper in your ears. Your life is not an accident. Nobody is alive today by accident. Human life originates with God. There are no accidents. God is in control of that. God is sovereign. We're not simply matter in motion. It's not a random product of evolution. Your life is the special creation of Almighty God. And you need to remember that today and every day. Job 33:4 says, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." Psalm 36:9 says, "For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we shall see life." Human life is sacred because it's created by God, and human life has a specific beginning. One of the biggest questions in the world today, and a lot of debate politically today, is when does life begin? When does it begin? Does life begin at conception? Does it begin when a scientist arbitrarily decides that human life is viable? Does it begin when the heartbeat is detectable? At what point does life begin? Let me give you some very clear passages of scripture that might help answer that question. Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14 says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." When the psalmist writes about his life, he writes about his life in the womb. That was me in the womb. And that was you when you were in your mother's womb. Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." From the moment God places a baby in the womb of his or her mother, that baby is a human life. It's not really that complicated, is it? The Bible had laws in Exodus. I want you to consider this. Exodus 21, verses 22 and 23. Exodus 21. If in Exodus, the law said that if two men were fighting with each other and they hurt a pregnant woman in the process, they were liable for hurting two people, the mother and the baby. That's the way most of our laws work in the United States even today. "If men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according to the woman's husband, will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life." There was the value of life was placed not only on the mother, but on the child. I want you to consider this about the birth of Jesus. We're about to celebrate Christmas. All right, three of you are excited about that. Good. We're about to celebrate Christmas. And in Luke 1, we have the story of John the Baptist when Mary comes. Listen, in Luke 1:41, "It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary..." What's it say? "The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." And then you go on to Luke 2:12, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." When God's word talks about John the Baptist in the womb, when the word of God talks about Jesus after he's born, the word of God used the same word for the baby in the womb and the baby out of the womb. Why? Because it's a baby. Everybody with me? Okay. I know this is deep theology, but I think it's very important that you get this. The reality is, in our culture today, the only difference between what our culture would term as a baby or a fetus is whether the mom wants that baby or not. That's the only difference. When a young woman in our society gets pregnant and she's going to have a baby, if she wants that baby, she's excited and she says, "We're going to have a baby." But if she doesn't want that baby, if that baby's going to inconvenience her life too much, then she refers to that not as her baby. She doesn't say, "We're going to have a baby." She says, "I'm going to terminate this pregnancy." You see, we change our terms depending on whether the baby is wanted or not. And I want you to understand something. Every life is precious. Why do we talk about this stuff? It's very uncomfortable. People argue about it. There's a lot of debate and a lot of fighting in our country. Why do we talk about it? Because we have a responsibility to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. One of the attacks that's given against those who would say what I'm saying tonight is, well, what about the other kids? What about, why don't you adopt them? Are you going to adopt them? Well, we can't adopt any babies if you keep killing them all. We have to deal with one problem before we can deal with another problem. And I want to tell you, there are thousands upon thousands of Christian families all across this country, all across the globe, who would love to adopt a baby and take care of a baby. We've got to understand the value of human life. And value, not only is every life have value, but every life has purpose. Let me give you one more verse before we break up into our groups. I really made that part sound epic, didn't it? It's good. Good timing. Isaiah 43 and verse 7. Isaiah 43 and verse 7. Not only is your life not an accident, but your life has purpose. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory and have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Every one of you have value, you have worth, and God has a purpose for you if you'll trust in him and follow him. Let's stand together. We'll dismiss to our groups with a word of prayer. Thank you so much for being here. If you want to give to the Youth Fund, we'll have